process is pretty straightforward and logical. You advertise at with the local music schools, with the local teachers and teachers' newsletters, just to make sure that people who are involved in education and the students itself are aware. Mm-hmm. You set the guidelines in terms of type of repertoire, type of instruments. At the beginning, we couldn't use piano, for example, because just logistically in our situation, St. John, we couldn't easily incorporate piano as a solo instrument. Now we can do that, and St. Martin. You decide on the age and the geographical area from which you draw, and you advertise, and then the process moves forward.
And then these folks have to perform where first? When you send out the flyer, what's their process?
They are required to submit a recording.
Okay.
And we have a panel of judges that listens to all the recordings, and we don't know their names. We don't know who is who. We just listen to the excerpts. We judge them in some simple numerical system, and the top 8 or 9 in this case are being awarded to perform a public concerts, which is being again judged by different set of judges. And this is what's happening tomorrow.
Okay.
And then the winner of tomorrow's competition is our featured soloist next season
at the Christmas concert.
Yes.
Excellent. So Andrew, how did you learn about the opportunity here, Riverside Sinfonia, and the competition?
As the maestro said, there were several newsletters sent out, and one of those I was given by my at-home orchestra, the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra. Mm-hmm. It was a sponsored newsletter, and that's how I heard about it. Yep.
And forgive me for asking this, but what made you say, I got to do this? What was in your competitive DNA that says, I'm worthy, I want to take this on?
I think I've reached an age where I need to get more involved in the musical world. Mm. So this is one of the first steps for me. Mm. So I'm really excited about it. Yep.
Neat. Now, once again, so you learned about it. You said, all right, I want to take this on. Now, Maestro said you got to submit a recording. So what was the process that you went through with your teacher, perhaps your private teacher, that decided the particular piece that you were going to submit for a recording?
Well, I started a concerto over the summer, and as soon as I finished it, my piano teacher, he also has a sound recording booth,
mm-hmm.
so we went straight there and we recorded.
Wow. How long did it take you to get it the way you wanted it to?
It's probably 7 or 8 takes.
Yeah. It's a lot different when you have to make it perfect and fit it all together. Which brings up an interesting question, Maestro, because she had the opportunity to use a recording studio. It has to be one take. You can't do the editing. We wouldn't allow the editing and the punch editing in a recording, right?
Well, when you listen to a recording, sometimes you can tell it was edited, sometimes you can't, depending on how sophisticated instruments in terms of recording you are using and who is the recording engineer. But I think even when you have the ability to sort of massage the product or not, a experienced ear is able to judge the quality of the performance regardless.
Sure. Yeah, it comes through, no doubt.
Right.
And there's just so much piecemeal you can do before it degrades to a point. So, all right, you put this recording together and you sent it out, and what was your thought process? When were you waiting to hear the next step? And then you had to go, when you received that notification that you were going to have to perform now, in this concert tomorrow, what was your thought process?
I was really happy and sad, like nervous at the same time, mm-hmm. because I would have to prepare and actually perform in front of the judges and be judged on the piece.
Uh-huh.
But I really like the challenge, and I'm really excited for it.
Excellent. So now, when did you learn that you were going to perform in this particular concert that's taking place?
I believe the beginning of this month. Yeah.
All right. So you knew a few weeks ago, And Maestro now, what's the process? You've got, you said, 8 students?
Exactly 9.
Nine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 9 different pieces. Are these full pieces?
No, I think we need to find a time frame which is fair and doable, both in terms of being able to audition and listen to 8 or 9 players, and also giving the musicians enough time to show their abilities and somehow work with the repertoire, you know. Mm-hmm. There's some concertos that are, you know, 1 hour long and have 3 movements. Yeah. There are some concertos that are 10 minutes long and everything in between. So we set the parameter between 10 or 13 minutes, trying to give everybody a fair chance. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can find a short concerto or solo piece that is exactly of that length. Sometimes you just take an excerpt of a concerto. You have a pianist playing. Right. Just first movement of a Beethoven concerto, etc. Just trying to give everybody more or less the same amount of time within a reasonable frame.
Sure. Now, you're choosing the pieces?
No, the repertoire was up to the contestants. Some of them had more than one to offer, and
okay.
I would make a decision also based on what it's aesthetically pleasing to the audience tomorrow. You don't want to have a 2 Beethoven piano concertos, for example, right? Mm-hmm. Or especially if sometimes the students decided to play the same piece. So then you try to change the program just a little bit to also give the program the right flow and balance and contrast.
A completely other aspect to performance programming is you had 9 performers, you got multiple submissions of what they were deciding to play, and you're somehow trying to make it enjoyable for your concert goers.
Exactly.
At the same time.
Exactly.
And it makes sense. We wouldn't want to have an avant-garde 21st century piece with Beethoven all the time. Mm-hmm. Or at least we want to have an intermission anyway. So, Anju, what did you pick? What were your choices?
It was between 2 different concertos. The first one, which is what I picked, Concerto in D Major by Vivaldi.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more Baroque piece, and aria in classic styling by Grangini, which is from the Romantic period.
All right. So we got 2 different centuries there.
Yeah.
You've only been doing this for so long. How do you even digest the difference between the Baroque period and the Renaissance period? What's your teacher go through to try and teach you the techniques that apply to those? Because it's completely different, and I don't know if you've been exposed to all that yet. The techniques, how you interpret the music, because it happens to be a certain piece, you have to do something different. How do you go through that with your teacher?
I feel like now I really do enjoy playing classical music. Mm-hmm. So I understand like the personality of each piece, and you know, I turn on the metronome every single day and I work through it. So I think that's what gives it character.
Sure. Now, Maestro, you've made your programming choices, and how much practice time do you work with the Sinfonia at first before they get involved, and then after that, when you introduce the 9 players, I'm sure they're not showing up on the stage for the first time tomorrow. So how much practice time are you giving them to make everybody comfortable and feel they're going to do their best?
Well, they are given just the basic parameter. This is the competition. This is the time. You need to show up, and that's what you play. We're going to be judged. Then we have a nice reception, and we award 3 prizes. And they are, in a way, being treated like young professionals, you know.
Wow.
There's no any involvement between me and them except for the interview today with Angie. So,
neat. The orchestra, the Sinfonia, is playing tonight.
Tomorrow they are appearing only with the piano accompaniment.
Oh, only piano. Okay.
And then the winners play with the orchestra.
With the Sinfonia. Yes. All right. That's where I was losing it. So is it the same piano accompaniment person, or they bring their own?
They bring their own.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been practicing with your pianist?
We've been practicing every Sunday after church this month, yeah.
Wow. And you've only known for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Impressive. So what did you choose?
Concerto in D Major.
All right. Yeah. Are we going to spoil it if you give us an excerpt, or is that going to, or do you want to do the other one so we don't have Maestro Smoli affected by your first performance?
What are you gonna... I'm not sure. I mean, I would love to play.
Feel free to play whatever you
want. All right, she's free to play. Well, go ahead. Give us an excerpt. Let me move the microphone for you. All right, this is Anju Felix playing a little bit of her performance, which will take place tomorrow. I get it. That was Baroque, right?
Yep.
All right. So what was that piece?
Concerto in D major by Vivaldi.
By Vivaldi. Okay. Excellent. And we all know he wrote the Four Seasons, and we're getting close to spring, so excellent. That was so beautiful. That was just wonderful. Now, how long have you been practicing that on your own?
I started learning in summer, so, yeah, since summer.
Been a while, yeah. I don't, like I said, could you give me a hint as to how many strings are on that?
On this one, there are 44.
44. So for those of you that play a guitar with 6 strings or 12 strings, you just have to add a couple, and you might be on the same page there. Plus throwing in the pedal, which most guitarists don't have a chance at doing at this point. It's just wonderful. Really, really well done. So, Maestro, the concert tomorrow, these 9 performers are going to come in, and they're going to go up and perform this. The judges, how are they selected?
We try to find people that are professional musicians of good reputation,
mm-hmm.
who will be impartial, and who are willing to donate their time to help us with
Excellent.
The process. So there will be 3 judges. I'm one of them.
Oh.
Then we have a wonderful violinist, Elizabeth Pitcairn,
mm-hmm.
and pianist Gabriela Imra. So we have a pianist, violinist, conductor, trying to give a kind of different angle of expertise to music, and we should arrive with, hopefully, good decisions.
Now, this is not a blind judging now. You're going to see the whole performance.
Right.
Okay. Does anything from the previous judging incorporate into it, or is this a clean slate?
No, it's a clean slate. There were some people that participated. We have one student who participated before as a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
That did not win the competition. She's trying again, which is perfectly
mm-hmm.
fine. There could have been some students who were trying the first round, and maybe they tried before. I don't know that because I don't really
mm-hmm.
know the names. I'm just listening to music and
sure.
without any prejudice, yep. deciding the quality of the performance rather than looking at the name.
Yep. No, I've been in competitions back when I was your age, and one day you have it, and one day it just isn't the best. So you get back in and do your best the next time. So, yeah, I was in the regional and all state and all that type of stuff. So give us a hint as to all the different performances that will take place tomorrow.
It's a very interesting group of young artists, variety of instruments, and very interesting repertoire. We have harp,
mm-hmm.
as we know. We have a flute player who is going to do Bach flute concerto. We have an oboe player who is doing part of Richard Strauss concerto for oboe. mm-hmm. and strings, of course, in the version with piano. You have two violinists. One of them will do part of Tchaikovsky, the violin concerto. The other one will do Gypsy Airs by Pablo Sarasate, very difficult, challenging program. And then you have two pianists. One of them is doing Beethoven, part of Beethoven concerto, and another, I believe, Prokofiev. So it's a wonderful gamut of repertoire, different instruments. Oh, I have a saxophone player. I have a saxophone player
really?
who does one movement of Glazunov concerto for classical saxophone and orchestra in the original and piano tomorrow. So really wonderful gamut of instrument, yep. Musical colors, and composers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't get a lot of saxophone classical pieces. They're just not out there. But that's great. So we got a whole variety of all the different musicians. And the age range, what's the typical age range?
The age is between 14 and 20.
So you are the youngest.
Probably the youngest.
You're taking on everybody. That's awesome. Wow. That's incredible. So the performance takes place when tomorrow?
It takes place at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. at Thompson Memorial Church mm-hmm. in New Hope. On Aquanaut Road.
Okay. Yeah, 2 p.m. and it's going to last. We're going to hear 9 excerpts, or at least movements, and so that's going to be at least in
about 2 hours, including international.
About 2 hours. Yeah. Beautiful. All right. So, how do people get in touch with to find out tickets and?
Well, it's a free admission. There are no tickets. You just need to show up at 2 o'clock at the church and enjoy wonderful free music. And you know, we called what we do. Classical music, which is a term I'm really uncomfortable with, because it has this coloration of being stiff, antique, not relevant.
Right.
You name it. It's very often not a positive spin. And I think we're just playing the best music. I mean, if you think about the history of music that goes hundreds, if not thousands, of years,
mm-hmm.
and you think about all those hundreds of thousands of composers that compose anything from simple drum beat, you know, somewhere 5,000 years ago to Bach, who wrote the most sophisticated fugues. As the time goes on, by natural selection, many of those compositions, songs, got forgotten.
Right.
And somehow the human heritage preserves what's the best over the years. So so I think if we still play something that was written 400 years ago, or even 30 years ago, it shows that it has a certain value that is here over time, and that's why I think the classical is not a good term. I call it the best. I think the best of the best, and mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with a great rock and roll song. And I was in Beatles cover band when I was in high school, you know, and I played guitar, and I do have a lot of appreciation for pop and rock, etc. But if you think what's the longevity of some of those pop compositions versus Beethoven mm-hmm. and Brahms, you very quickly come to the conclusion that mm-hmm. it's very different, and there is something in those so-called classical compositions that stay with human heritage for decades, if not hundreds of years to come. So I'm delighted to see the next generation of young people doing just that.
I'm glad you brought a philosophical point to this. So we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to bring you back, and we'll do a little philosophical discussion to end the show. So Andrew's going to take us out. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter and HunterChamber.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we have Andrew Felix here with me. She is going to be performing tomorrow at 2 p.m. over there in New Hope at St. Martin. And Maestro Smoley, I keep doing that, I'm sorry, Maestro. Maestro Smoley is overseeing the Riverside Sinfonia, and he's one of the judges, and eventually will be conducting one of the nine performers that will win that competition tomorrow. So, we had a Maestro, you brought up a philosophical discussion at the end of the last segment, and this is the part why I was telling you I love to do this with regard to talking to people about what you the best music you, that everybody else uses the word classical music. It's harder to get used to this music, not because it's old, it's because there's more intricacy to it. It's more complex. As you continue to peel back the onion of this music, you learn more and more about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why people do not gravitate to it immediately, because it requires work.
I think we're living in a society that really lacks instant gratification. That's why, you know, McDonald's is selling more food than the just little upscale restaurant, right, or grocery store with health food next door.
Right.
And art is not different, you know. We all enjoy Warhol's photo of can of tomato soup because we make this instant connection and it's sort of artistic instant gratification in understanding what it is. Maybe actually it's deeper than that. And with classical music, it's not always the case. But I think, in spite of the complexity of some of the greatest work, there's also an immediate appeal. We just need to be a bit patient and a bit more open to do that. Because if you think about music, all kinds of music, whether it's a gamelan from, you know, Indonesia, or Beatles songs, or Beethoven symphony, or Stravinsky ballet, and if you were to describe music to somebody who came from planet Mars and never heard about, you know, a concept of musical narration, what would you say? Mm-hmm. What I would say is that in the natural, music either sings or dances, yeah, either laughs or cries. It's a big simplification, but I think really, whether you look at the beautiful second movement of Beethoven's symphony or nostalgic song by the Beatles, this is, mm-hmm, those are the same human emotions.
Yep.
And they may be expressed with one guitar and one voice, or they may be expressed with 80 instruments being on stage, but the basic message is the same.
Sure. So, Andrew, you expressed that you started out playing the harp, and it started to, as the more you started to learn, the more interesting it became. Take us through a little bit of that understanding, that process as you started out, because you're a young mind who's maturing, and sometimes this doesn't doesn't make as much sense to students at your age before you get to 14, or even after. So how did you how are you starting to gravitate more and more into the, as Maestro says, the best music?
Well, I guess the first thing that really helped me was the Royal College of Music ABRSM testings.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 8 levels, and I've been taking one every year. I'm on level 5 right now. So those really helped me excel using, like, a rubric and a syllabus.
Mm-hmm.
So those really helped. And I think I've really started to enjoy the music that I've been playing. For the first time, when I was in 7th grade, my orchestra was playing Scheherazade, and that's probably one of my favorite pieces to this day,
sure,
because of, you know, the story that it tells. So I think that's what really made me enjoy what I'm doing right now.
Wow, that's great. So tell me a little bit more about your performance experience. You said you were working with the youth orchestra in Princeton, you're doing this competition, you're doing your you're working with your private teacher, you're also doing work at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? And oh, by the way, taking exams. So what else are you doing? Is that pretty much it for today?
I'm also in the Temple Harp Ensemble at Temple University, and that's pretty much a day's work every Saturday. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's great to hear, Maestro, how students still can locate these opportunities and take advantage of them. Any other advice for Andrew as far as growing her career and experience?
I would say be open to the world in general and to different types of arts in particular, including different kinds of music,
mm-hmm,
because there's something to learn from everybody, and I think every musician you meet on your path, whether it's your friend at high school or professional conductor, in my experience, is somebody you can learn something from. And looking at great art,
mm-hmm,
looking at sculpture, listening to other instruments, enjoying good book and good movie will make you a better artist too, better harp player.
Yeah. I talk to people about this because of my music background, but also because of my professional background. Humble and being willing to learn. If you have those two options, there's nothing you can't do. Usually, if you don't have those two characteristics, you shutting out the opportunity, as Maestro was just talking about, where you miss out on an opportunity to absorb something that might make sense to you, might not make sense to you right now, but will make sense to you later on. So humble and being hungry to learn is the two characteristics I would definitely tell you to do. And it sounds like you've got a lot of those characteristics already. So Maestro, what's next for the Sinfonia? What are you planning besides the having this concert tomorrow?
Yeah,
what's next on the schedule?
Yeah, let's clarify the place and time again. It's 2:00.
Yep.
2 p.m. Thompson Memorial Church in New Hope.
Thompson Memorial. I said St. Martin, right?
Yeah, and St. Martin is the location of our April concert.
So oh, okay.
I think around
Sorry.
April 21st, we're doing a performance that will feature two solos, mm-hmm, two of our principal players, violinist and oboist. We're going to perform double concerto for violin and oboe by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Mm-hmm.
Grieg's suite for strings called From Holberg's Times, and one of the more popular Haydn symphonies called La Passione, passionate.
You only symphony. Did a few symphonies, so.
Yeah, this is, I think, 47, 48.
Yeah.
So that concert will take place, I think, on April 21st or 22nd. All the informations about our performance tomorrow, uh-huh, and our next concert at St. Martin's are on our website, so anybody who would like to learn more can go to riversidesymphonia.org and get all the details about our upcoming events.
Beautiful. And the concert season is typically fall to spring? Is
yes, we have a fall concert, a very popular Christmas concert. We have, mm-hmm, a chamber concert in usually February, March.
Mm-hmm.
Every second year we have the Young Artist Competition spring concert. Then we have a choral instrumental concert collaboration with Bucks Country Chorale every year. And our probably most famous event is the concert Under the Stars around July 4th, the weekend of July 4th in Tinicum Park.
Wow. All right. So there's summer events as well. Angie, what's on your plate after tomorrow? What are you planning to do?
Well, I also have a concert on Sunday in the Kimmel Center with the Greater Princeton Youth Orchestra.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And I'm doing a few more competitions this year with the Sicilian Music Club and the National Young Artist Showcase.
Okay.
So, yeah, exciting.
Excellent. Well, you got a lot of opportunities to play. And as a harpist, I imagine you have to locate them. It's not when I was playing trumpet, you can get a trumpet gig just about anywhere. Harp is not always included all the time, so I'm glad you're seeking the opportunities. That's great. So we are at about 2 minutes left. I'm going to let you say your goodbyes, and you got to thank your dad for hauling this thing up.
Yep.
We are on the second floor, folks, and Andrew's dad, I saw him this morning taking this harp. It's 85 pounds up the stairs. Big thank you to Dad for that, please, okay?
Thanks, Dad.
There you go. Because Dad doesn't have to go to gym anymore. All right, so we're going to let Andrew take us out, and we're going to have Maestro give us his final thoughts, and then I want to thank you all for coming. This was great. So, Andrew, let's hit it. One and two, right? So, Maestro, thank you so much for coming. Appreciate it as always. Have a great competition, and good luck with everything that you're doing. My goodness, it's you're just as busy as Andrew is.
Thank you very much.
All right, so this is Good Morning, Hunterin. We had Maestro Smoley and Andrew Felix. Please go and see the Riverside Sinfonia tomorrow, and make sure that you cheer on the budding professionals and musicians that Riverside Sinfonia is showcasing tomorrow for their big competition. You're listening to Good Morning, HuntingHunterBird.com. This is Big C. I'm signing off. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says there's a growing chance of a contested Republican convention, telling reporters a contested convention is more likely than anyone thought before. North Korea firing two ballistic missiles into the Sea of Japan, both believed to be medium-range ballistic missiles, and this comes as the U.S. announces new sanctions against North Korea. A Phoenix man sentenced this summer in connection with a planned terror attack in Texas. Abdul Malik Abdul Karim found guilty yesterday on all five counts. This juror says the nature of the case was not easy.
His son, that was the hardest part of the whole trial, was watching him and poor Miss Clough. I mean, that whole situation. I mean, that was difficult. That was hard for me as a father of a daughter to see that.
Prosecutors say he helped plot an attack at a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest last year in Garland. And a pizza shop owner in upstate New York getting 22 years in prison for being an ISIS recruiter, pleading guilty in December for providing material support. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin from Daybreak USA. Well, the winter may have been dry for you. Your hair may be a little brittle, and maybe you color your hair. Well, I've got great news for you. I told you last week, one of my coworkers, Charlie, saw me in the hallway, and he said, "Hey, I've heard your Ovation commercials, and your hair really does look fantastic." I was kind of surprised, but hey, who doesn't want a compliment from a coworker who says your hair looks fantastic? All right, for those of us that color our hair, and a lot of us do, Ovation introduces their latest in color therapy treatment, the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. program. Now, with this new color protection system by Ovation, you'll experience less color fade and longer lasting color. And who doesn't want that? And for a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs if you purchase the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. The offer won't last long, and also, you know, you can get an introductory discount if you're a new Ovation hair care purchaser by selecting Angie Austin, Daybreak USA at checkout. OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
Former GOP presidential candidate Marco Rubio says he's not interested in being the vice president. In his first comments since dropping out of the race, the Florida senator telling reporters he's not running for re-election, saying he'll be a private citizen when his term ends. The government suggesting it's concerned about a mosquito-borne virus coming to the United States. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with the details.
The feds say Miami tops the list of major U.S. cities at risk for a Zika virus outbreak this summer. The new report calculating the risk in 50 U.S. cities where summertime temperatures could create ideal conditions for the type of mosquito that spreads that disease. The federal researchers using computer modeling to factor in weather conditions and travel patterns along the Gulf Coast and Eastern Seaboard. Miami, Houston, Orlando, they all make the list. Other cities with high risk include Jacksonville, Savannah, Charleston, Mobile, and New Orleans.
The mayor of Newark, New Jersey, calling out the Newark public school system for its knowledge of high lead levels in the school's drinking water. He's pushing for control of schools to be returned to the city. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't...
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more.
Carolina Courtroom, USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Albert Taylor is accused of shooting a 17-year-old at a South Carolina bowling alley. Jamari Fair, Dennis Gibbs, and a 15-year-old are also facing murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's the news media.
No, I got a question.
Oh, the news media? What's up, y'all? You follow me on Twitter?
Follow me on Instagram, Luca Bassett Jr. Snapchat.
The victim's great-grandfather shook his head in murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's the news media.
No, I got a question.
Oh, the news media? What's up, y'all? You follow me on Twitter?
Follow me on Instagram, Luca Bassett Jr.
Snapchat.
The victim's great-grandfather shook his head as he listened to the outrageous outburst in court.
We talked to his mother just the other day, and she just getting in the house and getting his room all straightened out, and then just 3 or 4 days later, this happened.
I'm Tammy Rose.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
it's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 26 degrees. Clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day. We might have some snow showers later that day and a low of 31 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, showers in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, a high of 45. Temperatures in our area? Well, we got 24 up in Glen Gardner, 26 over in White House Station, 24 at the County Complex, 25 in Ringo's, 25 in Lambertville. That's Good Morning Hunterdon and Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunterdon and Hunterdon.com. I got Patrick and Steve, or Steve and Patrick. We're going to argue about top billing in just a minute. Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory are the hosts of Home Sweet Home, which has been on Hunterdon Chamber Radio for about 7-8 months, close to a year now. And they used to be at 1 o'clock. They moved to 11. And I had the pleasure of sitting with them during the Business and Home Expo. And funny guys and really a lot of expertise. So going to talk to them a little bit about their business, talk a little bit about their radio station, and talk a little bit about life in Hunterdon County. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, this is Big cool. C. Patrick has been busting down my door trying to get on the show, and I made some arrangements for you, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he hit me over the head. Said, you got to start cornering him. We got to get on his show.
Hey, you got to market yourself.
That's
right.
That's right. That's right.
I love it. Now, Patrick and Steve, we have a little 100 Chamber Radio group where we're trying to make improvements, think of ideas, and you two took the bull by the horns and grabbed your show and started to make some evolvements with it. And we as the elder statesmen of the radio, I've been on for 4.5 years now, appreciate how the passion that you guys bring to it. So it's nice to see and find out the thinking from the new set of hosts as to how this is all working for you. So we'll get to all that in just a minute. But sure. First, let's get started with a little introductions. I got Steve Bailey. And Steve, just tell us a little bit about you and your biz.
Thanks, Chris. The business I'm in is I'm a home inspector here, and not to be confused with our building inspectors, our right. co-friends. I'm on the commercial side. If you're out to buy purchase a property, or whether commercial or residential, my game plan is to come in and help my clients understand what they're buying. And really simply, we take the time to evaluate the property, walk through it. There's, mm-hmm. I'm a licensed inspector in the state. I'd like to say guided, but I would say we are legislated to by the engineering board of the state. So there are definite steps we go through to make sure that we have our clients up to snuff on what they're about to purchase and maybe some of the details they didn't know about.
Cool. We're going to get into this a little bit because I got some questions about this. But everybody who's ever made a purchase, business or residential, it's been in their best interest to have an inspection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the mortgage companies want one.
Oh, yeah.
So it needs to happen, and it gives you some advice as to how to even negotiate your final purchase.
Absolutely.
So cool.
Absolutely.
Patrick, what's your gig, man?
Yeah, I've been in business since 2005, mm-hmm. and I really appreciate coming on the show with you.
Hey, thank you.
I'm at awe at the way that you're using the soundboard. I'm trying to, you know, because Steve and I, we kind of trade off once in a while.
No, Pat's the engineer.
he's touted me as being the
program manager, engineer, head of state, you name it.
Yeah, when we have the co-host. When we have the co-host, there's always that
a little bit of friction.
Friction that goes on. It's funny. Jen and Jim do that, and when I was doing some shows with after I was here, and Chris Phelan and Richard would come in, and we'd have three of us, and we would all sit there and try and figure out who's gonna be the one that has to run the board. So
amen. Well,
this is all brand new to us, and yep. we're just having a lot of fun with it because it takes us out of our regular role as you know what we do.
When it's cathartic, isn't it?
It is.
I think so. Yeah. And the neat thing is that we have to try to use our words, our vocabulary, mm-hmm.
Without the colorful metaphors, I might add.
Well, there's nothing.
We're not FCC licensed, so
I think that's where our.
And there's that really cool disclaimer that Chris always says that you're not part of the 100 Chamber of Commerce, so it does not necessarily reflect. So as soon as I hear that, I got a green light.
We are the clean contractors. You'll never hear us say the F word or
no F bombs
or any of those other words that you might.
Boy, you're setting up a high standard now there, partner, I can tell you. Wow. Now I'm really got to be on guard. But we haven't.
Bring your hand over here. Let me smack it with a hammer. I want to see if you hold back.
The neat thing about what we do is that, like I said, we have to use our vocabulary. We have to actually depict, because we can't show people.
Yep.
It's all just verbal, and I'm using my hands, and I'm trying to show in midair that I'm hammering and stuff. No one can see that. But we do it anyway.
That's right. We do it anyway.
we're like snickering at each other, going, "No one can see us. We're just trying."
We're the new Italians.
Just trying to paint a story.
We're conducting our radio show.
So, what is the name of your business, Patrick?
Taskman Home Improvements LLC.
Taskman.
Taskman. Yeah. Okay. And I came up with that moniker because, in my opinion, I'm marketing myself as a handyman.
Okay.
A true professional handyman, and that to me depicts small repairs, maintenance. I'm not doing the big jobs like renovations. You know, you're not going to call me and ask me to do a finished basement or a kitchen job. I'm doing all those little repairs that need to be done on a very regular basis.
We are going
to
be talking in after this show because I got a list, brother.
So, yeah, it's a task list.
Okay.
And that's where I come from from that point of view.
Okay.
And been having a lot of fun. I like what I do.
Good.
And just unfortunately, age is starting to get in the way.
Uh-oh.
Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate that.
My knees are telling me differently.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of, I'm sure, up and down all the time, constantly walking around, constantly bending down. And I'm with you. I don't do a lot of home improvements, and when I do, it's usually I have to call you anyway, because by the time I'm done, I've made it worse.
Yeah, that's my perfect client.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm in big trouble then.
I'll get this. Basically, they'll say, my husband is so busy, and quite honestly, I love him to death, but he is terrible at doing the stuff around the house. I need someone like you, Pat.
There you go.
And I say, hallelujah. Let me in. I'll help you out. Yeah, I'd be happy to be able to assist you in any way.
Well, we're going to be chatting. And what's the name of your business, Steve?
The business name is Brass Tack Home Inspections, Chris.
All right. So Patrick gave us a reason why he did Task Man. Where did Brass Tack come from? Why isn't it aluminum tack or gold tack?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, my sons and I were sitting around the table, and a couple of things came together in the conversation. It was, you know, Dad, you know, we don't have nice conversations anymore. We, you know, you're always driving me to a point. You're saying, you know, what are you trying to tell me? And, you know, you're always getting down to brass tacks. And, you know, the other one says, you know, Grandpa's nickname was Brass.
So, no way.
I said, well, there you go, guys. And, of course, I give them credit, although they won't take it for naming the company. So it came down to brass tacks. And actually, I work from that vantage point. It's, you know, just the facts, man. You know, and my business has got to be, you know, we can get into a lot of emotional things about real estate transactions and people's excitement about things. But, hey, I'm here to tell you what I see, what's going on, and
He's Columbo.
And I've used that metaphor. I've actually walked into places and people say, why are you going back in that room? Remember Columbo used to walk and leave, and then he'd say, you know,
Just one more question.
So I say, just one more minute. I walk back in and see if I...
You should wear a trench coat.
That'd be good.
I think it's a great idea. But that's where that name came from, and it's been fun ever since.
Why was your grandfather nicknamed Brass?
Well, it's my dad. It was their grandfather, my son's grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, we could probably take that to the colorful side of the metaphor.
I was about to say that.
You know, Dad,
careful how you say
this. Dad wasn't shy about taking on some pretty risky things. He, first of all, had a big family, and then secondly, he was everything from a volunteer fireman to a tenor singer, and he used to do some some pretty out there stuff as far as taking risks. So I think he had a pair of rat. I mean,
I get you. All right, I was looking. I was.
you're waiting for that to come around.
Waiting for a gotcha. Sweet.
I think his buddies named him that, and it stuck.
Somehow the name was neutered a little bit, though, wasn't it?
Trying to be good.
We got Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory. They are the team from Home Sweet Home, and we're going to talk to them a little bit more about their business and their show. Hang on. You listen to Good Morning Hunter and HuntJibber.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand.
or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, welcome back to Good Morning on HuntingtonChamber.com. I got the Home Sweet Home team here. They're going to be on at 11 o'clock, but we're delving into a little bit of the background of it all, and we'll get to the whole show thing in a little bit. But I guess the real question is, guys, what led you to the occupations that you're in? What led you to Taskman? And
ooh, good question.
Yeah.
Good question. You want me to go first? You want to go first?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was a my grandfather was a contractor. He was a carpenter. My dad was very much in the hardware business, and we lived on a small farm, which was basically perpetual reconstruction, meaning, mm-hmm. you know, it was an old late 1700s, early 1800s. So you learned real quick. Of course, I was in the seventh of seven siblings, and we all learned real quick how to take care or rebuild things and build things. Fast forward to... I started out in construction, bottom line. Oldest brother was in construction, used me as his grunt, labor worker, whatever, you know, beat the crap out of me, you know, said, go get this, go get that shingle, you know.
But now you're the one that's putting it together. How did you get on the other side?
Well, and that's time and experience, and I evolved and started working for other contracting companies, for everything from mobile home manufacturers to contractors, Hovnanian here in New Jersey. I was one of their service managers here on the quality side. Mm-hmm. And that all progressed through a corporate career as well, where I got introduced to commercial real estate. Long story short, was always an interest of mine, flipped my own houses, rebuilt many of my own houses, mm-hmm. and then came out and did an early retirement on the corporate thing. And I said, you know, I'm going to go out and do something I really wanted to do. Decided to go back into construction.
Mm-hmm.
And over 50 years of age, hauling sheetrock and plywood is not fun.
No.
Mm-hmm. And I had my... home inspection license. Actually, didn't I was playing at that job part time, and then realized, you know, this fits. This is what, so since 2004. Long story short, I've been full tilt home inspecting, and I love it. It's a blast. It's just helping people out, understanding what they're getting into, and more importantly, basically enlightening them to that emotion. You know, connecting the emotional with the reality of. What am I doing with this house?
Right.
What am I doing with this commercial property? Mm-hmm. So the commercial side's usually very unemotional in business, and the residential side's all emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Patrick, how did you get into the construction biz?
A little bit by mistake, a little bit by other people telling me to do it, actually, my wife in particular, because I would have never, ever have thought of going into contracting because you always hear about these terrible situations where people get sued because you did the wrong thing.
Sure.
And me being from Canada, it's just a little bit of a culture shock when you move to the United States. We moved here in the year 2000 in Hunterdon County, and I certainly didn't want to get into like a litigation issue. And but
are you implying that the U.S. doesn't have tort reform?
Sue crazy?
Yeah, sue crazy.
But knock on wood.
It's a tough industry, man. It's a tough industry. There's a lot of characters out there.
I've been blessed for the last 10 years with what I've done, and literally I came from the corporate world. I've always been good with my hands from the age of like 10 years old when I first punched my fist through a drywall and my dad looked at me and said, I'm not fixing it. And I had to fix it.
Mother of invention.
And
right there.
When I quit my last computer IT type job, my daughter was born, and I decided to stay home for almost 4 years with her as a stay-at-home dad.
Neat.
And when she started going to school, she was 4 years old, I turned around and said, I'm not going back into IT. I'm out of it. There's no way I can turn around and get back
in.
Yeah,
I mean, jumping back in after that time.
I didn't know what to do. And my wife was the one that basically said, why don't you become a handyman, like a contractor? Here in Hunterdon County, we had realized very early on that contractors were hard to be able to come to your house and provide estimates. They back then in the year 2000-2004, contractors were going crazy. They had their pick of the lot. Whatever they wanted to do, it was easy enough to get the job.
Yeah, there wasn't enough resource.
I had a job
crazy
where I
building
wanted,
environment at the time.
Yeah, it was.
I needed a mason to fix my chimney, rebuild my chimney. I called four masons. Only one showed up. The other ones blew me off.
Right.
He's the guy that got the job. And I looked at that and I said, you know, there's a niche here that I can get into where people really need someone that's reliable that'll come in and help them out maybe for an hour or two for the little small jobs. And that way I'm not poaching the big jobs from the contractors that want those big jobs.
Sure.
And that's where I went with it.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to talk IT, man. I didn't realize this. This is, we're getting deep now.